When Greg Farnese and Lori Appel aren't doing their day jobs, he's a cameraman at Philadelphia Sport Events, she's a clinical psychologist, they are working in a new niche of the video market, producing 20-minute documentary biographies of, well, for example, Alan Ernst.
We did live in Far Rockaway when I was very, very young. About the only memory I have of that was the first time I caught pneumonia and had my teddy bear who saw me through this crisis.
Now, right now you may be saying, I've never heard of Alan Ernst, and that is precisely the point. Mr. Ernst's friends and family have heard of him, and Greg Farnese produces these biographies for a price to order. Greg says he remembers seeing Ken Burns documentaries, which made still photographs from the Civil War come to life.
And then we started seeing A&E biography on Jimmy Stewart, and A&E biography on all these different American icons. And I thought, you know, this is great. I like this format. Wouldn't it be neat to apply this particular format to regular people?
The reality is that everybody's life and everybody's history and relationships and the things that happen to them are really interesting.
That's Lori. They're married with a 3.5-year-old son in Swedesboro, New Jersey. And what they're doing is interesting, making well-produced short biopics for customers who are willing to spend a few $1,000s. Lori does the interviewing and the writing. The customer provides still photos or home videos if they exist, and a list of people to interview. The price varies according to how many interviews have to be done in how many locations. Greg then edits it all on his home computer, and he narrates. The result is either a present for the living or a memorial for the dying. In any case, a personal possession that would not look at all out of place on many a cable channel.
Whenever I'm doing a piece, I always think 50 years down the road of who's going to be watching this. And when they do watch it, through the editing, through the music, and through the different sound bites that I piece together, will that capture the essence of that person? Will they understand or know that person just by spending 20 minutes watching this biography?
Greg Farnese's work reminds us that still photography trickled down from a skilled craft to a hobby pursued by the masses, that movie and video cameras multiplied from tools of the few to toys of the many. And it's not just the technology that gets popularized in the process, it is the opportunity to apply a touch of artistry. For example, Greg Farnese was editing one biography that gave him a case of filmmaker's block. He couldn't figure out how to introduce the image and voice of the man he was making the film about.
I had the idea of showing him right off the top, sort of like, remember like in Raging Bull, where we hear like a voiceover of Jake LaMotta in his dressing room and he was reciting something and it's like, it's in black and we just hear audio and then all of a sudden we pop up and we see him.
I recall every fall, every hook, every jab, a voice where a guy can get rid of his phleb. As you know, my life wasn't drab.
And then we tell the story of Jake LaMotta. That's the idea I had with this.
Pam and I enjoy antiquing. We enjoy fixing up old farmhouses. We enjoy our projects around the house here.
Okay, so Greg Farnese isn't Martin Scorsese, and he's not cutting a movie about Jake LaMotta with any voices comparable to that of Robert De Niro's. But he is onto something. If the hardware and the software are widely available, why shouldn't the kind of movie you can produce with them also be available? We met a couple of the Farnese's customers who were very satisfied with their work. Jim Barrett of Windmere, Pennsylvania, is a management consultant whose wife Dorothy died last year. He says the film the Farnese's made about her life and her funeral was just one element of a 20-year-long plan they had to celebrate her life when she died.
It is still winter, but the hearth is bare. The fire has gone out.
What I remember about her most is that she was real caring and like she just was real sweet. All she ever would talk about was Jim, and she loved to eat, especially chocolate, everywhere.
Jim Barrett says the plan took shape when Dorothy Barrett was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease.
She said to me one evening, you know, the thing that bothers me most about this is that when it's all over, all people will remember is that I was a woman who was sick for a long time, and they will forget all the rest of my life, particularly for the youngest grandchild, who was 17, and Dorothy was sick for 20 years. She never remembered Dorothy in the way that the older grandchildren did, and she learned a lot, and it repositioned her. I mean, this is a woman who had been in daycare for 12 years, then was at home really not able to do much for another couple of years, and then was in a hospice for a final weeks that stretched almost to 2 years. And so all, I mean, she, the last couple of years, well, before she went to the hospice, they'd all be here for Christmas or Thanksgiving, and we'd wheel her into the room, but she wasn't there. And that was what they were gradually going to remember. And so that all got turned around.
You know, I'm fascinated to hear you say that there was repositioning, because we're using a term from business consultants. We're using a term from where we're figuring out how to market our own memories of somebody to ourselves. How to do that? That's what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's very it's unconscious, but that's part of what I do for a living. But we repositioned Dorothy,
which is perhaps just a contemporary way of describing what family photo albums have been doing for a century. But for youngsters who grow up expecting sophisticated, rapid media experiences on TV, in games, even in the classroom, a documentary tribute enjoys a degree of credibility that, say, a slideshow does not. Cindy O'Keeney of Egg Harbor, New Jersey, commissioned a biography of her husband, restaurateur Brian O'Keeney, as a surprise 50th birthday present. It tells the story of Brian's childhood in Ireland, his coming to America, the motorcycle injury that cost him a leg, his friendships, his marriage, his success in the turbulent restaurant business, his skiing.
It all began on July 22, 1953, in the town of Draperstown, County Derry, Northern Ireland. The second of three children born to James and Angela O'Keeney, Brian showed his adventurism and social nature quite early.
Cindy O'Keeney says this film meant something special to their daughters, who were 17 and 13.
It's not like mom pulling out the old album and saying, look how pretty you were in that little pink Sunday dress. You know, keep going, mom. It's more of a, this is the kind of thing I see that's important to me on The Real World or MTV or anything else that I might watch. It has that shape and form that they're interested in and intrigued by.
Like the rapid-cut montage in which Brian grows up from toddler to 50-year-old in a flurry of still photos copied and cut together by Greg Farnese.
I think I used a photograph in every frame, and it's, what, 30 frames in a second. And this was a chance to use a lot of photographs. This client gave us a lot of photographs. So I just thought that would be a good way to tell a story in the very beginning, like the intro. I was using a photograph, and we see his life from the very beginning to 50 years old in, I think it was like 4.5 seconds.
Born to be wild.
Brian O'Keeney, a man of adventure, overcoming all obstacles, taking on any challenge.
Brian pretty much had the run of the town, I think. The famous story is Brian getting his head caught in the railings. There's a metal railing in front of the rectory, I guess, and Brian stuck his head through the railings.
Greg Farnese and Laurie Appel figure that even if home video editing software becomes more common, what they're doing still requires enough style and skill and polish to keep them in business. They are delivering production, not just, say, a videographer's summary of a wedding or a party. What they offer with all that style, skill, and polish is a great luxury now made accessible. The appearance of being a celebrity, even if only to your own friends and family.
It was here in Larchmont that Alan played his favorite role, that of father to Pam, M.W., and Roger.
What was it like to become a father? Exhilarating, thrilling, and particularly to have such a beautiful baby.
A life well rewarded by success and achievement, and most importantly, rewarded by the respect and adoration of those who know and love him.